It's really heartwarming to see a group of women coming together to learn on a summer afternoon, so Yishar Kochachem for coming out. Once again, there are source packets on the chairs. If you wish to follow along, there are some source sheets here in the front. Our topic for today is Maaseh Avot Siman Lebanim, loosely translated as the deeds of our forefathers are signposts for the children. What this means is going to be our topic today. I'm going to introduce you to the Ramban, Nachmanides, who takes this rule, Maaseh Avot Siman Lebanim, the deeds of our forefathers are signposts to the children. Please come inside. We're going to take this rule and we are going to try to take the entire book of Bereshit and understand it through the lenses of this rule. So here's the rule. Says the Ramban, source number one, Omar lecha klal, source one. They're not numbered, but it's the first source. I'm going to teach you a rule. Tavin oto, please understand this rule. Bekol ha-parshiyot ha-ba'ot, the entire book of Bereshit. If you don't understand this rule, you won't grasp the book of Bereshit. Be'inyan Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, all the stories about our forefathers. V'hu inyan gadol. It's a big deal, this rule that I'm about to teach you. Hizkiruhu raboteinu b'derech k'tzara. Our rabbis encapsulated this rule in one little sentence, like they always do. V'amru, here's the rule. Kol ma she'ira la'avot. Whatever happened to the forefathers, Siman Lebanim is a sign, a hint to their children. Velachen ya'arichu haktuvim b'sipur ha'masa'ot. And so, now that you at least know what the rule means, that whatever happened to them, take notes, it's going to happen to you. And that's why the Torah elaborates upon the stories and the forefathers about their masa'ot, their traveling, schafirot haberot, how they dug their wells. I mean, it's nice. You have it in a storybook, in a coloring book. Abraham dug the wells. Yitzchak did too. So what? Yeah. It's not just stories. What happened to them is going to happen to you. So says the Ramban, read the stories through that lens. V'shara mikarim, and anything else that happens to them is going to work the same way. V'yachshov ha'choshev bahem, and it's possible that we might mistakenly think, kilu hem dvarim miyutarim, it's just cute stories, you know, so the children will have something to color in their coloring book. No, en bahem to'elet, they are useless stories. No, kulam ba'im lelamed al ha'atid. All the stories in Genesis and Bereshit, they are coming to teach us about the future. If you want to understand today, you have to understand Bereshit. Ki kasher yavo hamikre lenavi mishloshet haavot, because anything that happens to one of the three forefathers, yitbonen mimeno, you can make deductions from that. Hadavar nigzar lavo lezaro, that which God will decree upon his children. And so we have our work cut out for us. We're going to try to look at certain stories in the book of Bereshit and see how those stories weren't just for then, but they're also for now. V'lefikach hirzik HaKadosh Baruch Hu Avraham ba'aretz. And you know, says the Ramban, that's why Hashem kept Avraham in Israel and made all these things happen to him. Asalo dimyonot b'kol ha'atid. He caused things to happen to the forefathers, like on a microcosmic level, because God knew that he was going to make those things, those very same things happen to his kids later on. Vehavenze, I really need you to understand this, says the Ramban. Vani matchil. Now I'm about to begin my commentary on the remainder of the book of Bereshit according to this rule that I just told you. So whatever the Ramban is going to tell us when he, makes comments on the stories on Bereshit are going to be also a sign for the future. So let's start with something simple. Not simple. Let's start, yeah? And then we will build a big building. One of the first things that Avraham does when he enters the land is that he enters the land. Now let's follow closely how Avraham enters the land. Whatever happens to him is going to also happen to us. The first place that Avraham makes his stop in with his satchel and his walking stick is going to be very significant. It should be a sign for us that the first place that Avraham steps foot in, according to the Ramban's rule, is going to be the first place we're going to step our foot in as a nation a few centuries later. Now, what's the first place that, based on the book of Joshua, when we, like, as a nation entered, and the first place we entered was, you know, Jericho. So you would think that surely the first place Avraham entered was also Jericho. He did it in Jericho first, so we do it in Jericho first too, right? No, because the first place that Avraham enters, the second source, it's not numbered, I'm sorry. Vayavor Avraham ba'aretz at makom Shechem. The first place he enters, huh? It's Shechem. Wait, you just gave me a rule and the rule doesn't work already in the first example. Oh, yes, it does. V'ani mosif ki echzik Avraham b'makom ahu tchilaha. Avraham enters the city of Shechem first. Kodem shenatan lo et ha'aretz. Before God even gave Avraham all of Eretz Yisrael. Nirmaz mizeh. This is a hint for us that Shechem will be ours first. When did we get Shechem? When did we get Shechem? We got Shechem after Dinah's attack, after Dinah was violated and her two brothers, Shimon and Levi, right, took out the whole town. That's when Shechem became ours. Did any of the other parts of Israel become ours? No. The exact same thing happened to Avraham. He stepped foot into Shechem first. Shechem, that's where he made an altar. But the rest of the land of Israel was not his yet until later. The covenant that God makes with Abraham that Eretz Yisrael is going to be his doesn't happen till later. Mm-hmm. Take good notes. That's what's going to happen to your kids. They will get Shechem, but they will not yet have the rest of the land. So the rule does work. Nirmaz mize ki banav yichbashu makom otchila. Here's a hint that his children will, years and years later, conquer Shechem first. Kodem heyoto zochim bo. Before they will take over the rest of Israel as a nation with Yehoshua. That won't happen until much later. V'kodem heyot avon yoshev ha'aretz shalem lehigalotam misham. Before the inhabitants of Shechem really are going to be eliminated because they deserve to be eliminated, the two tribes, Shimon and Levi, are going to take it because of what they did, what Shechem did to their sister. And that's why the verse makes sure to say, "V'lechen omer ha'kna'ani az ba'aretz." The Canaanite nations were still in the land. So just like Abraham first goes to Shechem and that's his first, so too we will get Shechem first before the rest of Israel is ours. The rule works. Shortly after Avraham steps foot in Israel, and we expect that, you know, now that he's been through so much, walking and walking until God says, okay, here you can stop walking here, we expect, whew, Avraham can take a breath, but he takes a breath and his throat is kind of parched because there is a famine and a drought in the land. Last source on page one. There is a famine in the land. Vayirav ba'aretz. And what does Avraham do when there is a famine in the land? Hine Avraham yarad leMitzrayim mipnei Arav. He goes down because of a hunger. Lagur sham, to settle there. Liyachiyot nafsho b'imei hatzoret, because to sustain himself because of the drought. And what did the Egyptians do then? Did they receive him with open arms? Mamitzrim ashku oto chinam lakachet at ishto, with open arms, but those arms were not for Avraham. Those arms were for his wife. And they took his wife and they... But who knows what happened to her is a different story. And Hashem made terrible plagues afflict this one who took Sarah. Terrible plagues. That sounds familiar from anywhere? And then Avraham leaves, loaded with riches and gold and silver. Sound familiar? And Paro sends an entourage after Avraham and the now released Sarah. Sound familiar? Of course it sounds familiar. It's the story of our people. Twice she was taken. First by Paro, later they went again. south, not to Egypt, but south. And there, you are right, it was Avimelech. There were twice that she was taken. Veramaz elav, it is a hint to Avraham. Ki banav yerdu Mitzrayim, his children too will go to Egypt. Mipnei ha-ra'av, also because of a famine. V'hamitzrim yar'u lahem, and the Egyptians will oppress the Jewish people too. What did they do to Avraham? They took his wife. And when we will go down to Egypt as a people, yikhu mehem ha-nashim, they will take our Jewish women too. We didn't learn about that. We only learned about the children, the boys being thrown into the Yaol. They didn't tell us anything about the girls. Says the Ramban, take note, the Pasuk says, yes, kol ben ha-yelod ha-yorot ha-shlichu, all the boys, you can throw them into the Yaol. Ve-kol ha-bat, techayun. But the girls, techayun, make them kacha juicy. If the boys have to be killed, and you don't want anything to happen to the girls, you don't have to mention to the girls. But if the girls are mentioned, kolabat techayun, we want you to sustain the girls, sustain them so they can be then shipped off to the palace for the Egyptians' private purposes. Just like they did to Sarah. V'kadosh baruch hu nikam nikmatam benegaim gdolim. And Hashem made terrible plagues. We know what happened in Egypt. Ad sheyotziem bekesef ubezahav. And then we left with gold and with riches. We had entourage following us. Says the Ramban, look at this. Lo nafal davar mikol meora ha'av shelo haya babanim. There's not one iota that happened to Avraham that didn't also happen to the children. And here, says the Ramban, is our rule. Hashem says to Avraham, last line, Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'Avraham, Tse, ukvosh ha-derech lifnei banecha, Avraham, I need you to go, and I need you to, loosely translated, walk the walk before they walk the walk. Your children are going to have to walk the walk. One day down the line, they're going to be in Egypt, and you need to pave the path for them, because in order to survive in Egypt, in order to be able to leave Egypt, you need to have a certain strength, you need to have a certain koach. Where are they going to get that strength from? You need to walk the walk so that when they walk the walk, they'll be able to do it and they'll be able to come out alive, which, by the way, is why Avraham agreed to take the wealth and the riches that Paro gave him. Later on, with another king, he doesn't agree to take a thing, not even a shoelace, remember? But here, Avraham agrees to take the wealth. Why? Why? Because Avraham knows, Ma'aseh avot siman lebanim. I'm walking the walk now because my children will have to walk the walk. And so when he agrees to take the wealth, he agrees to take the wealth because he knows that if he doesn't, then his offspring is going to leave without wealth either. So he takes it so that when his offspring is down in Mitzrayim, they will have what to take. I want to introduce a point over here. That which we are speaking of, this rule of Ma'aseh Avot Siman Libanim, it's not just, okay, so you'll have the microcosmic version and they'll have the big version. You'll have little problems, they'll have big problems. It's a nice, no, it's not about you have big problems and you have little problems. What's it about? Avraham, as a leader of Am Yisrael, carries, like any leader, like any person who sets the foundation, who sets the basis, the yesod, any person who sets foundation carries upon their shoulders the responsibility for the rest of the building. Anything in the crack, anything in the foundation that's possibly shifty or that's a crack is going to affect the rest of the building. It is a tremendous responsibility to be a leader, to be a person who starts things off. And you know, sometimes Avraham's minor movements and minor words, they don't bode too well for us. There's a fascinating Rashi. I didn't print it because I kind of wanted to stay with Ramban. There's a fascinating Rashi. You know, remember when the three angels come to visit Avraham and he's sick in his tent, he had just had a circumcision. And so Avraham starts to make a whole menu, right? What's on the menu? We all know all kinds of delicious things are on the menu. But before he puts out the menu, he says, Yukachna me'at maim, let some water be fetched, let some water be brought. And Rashi on the spot says, oh yeah? Yukachna me'at maim, let some water be fetched? Why don't you go fetch the water? No, let some water be fetched, says Rashi, al yedei shaliach, through a messenger, the water should be fetched. V'Hashem shilem lebanav, and Hashem repaid his children. Al yedei shaliach, they will also get water via a messenger. We know when we were in the desert, we always had problems with water. Hit the rock, talk to the rock, there's no water, the water is bitter, there's no water. Always through a messenger. Bread? No, right from heaven. Every day. On Friday, double. Never a problem with the bread. Why? Because lechem, he had sarad. So why didn't he get in trouble for making Sarah make the bread? No, Sarah, he didn't get in trouble for telling Sarah to do the bread rather than making it on his own, because it was Pesach time, we are told, and he only trusted her to make sure that nothing would become leaven, nothing would become chametz. And he didn't get in trouble either for telling somebody else to prepare the meat. Why? Because he told Yishmael to prepare the meat, we are told, and he was trying to educate Yishmael to do achnasat ochim, guests are coming. He was in essence educating his child. But the water, that's something he could have done himself. So the simple, yukachna me'at mayim, let some water be brought, that affects the rest of his offspring for so many years, because we always had trouble with water. What a tremendous burden of a responsibility on a leader, because leader is foundation, and foundation sets the tone for everything. Just like we know, every young woman, every mother, right, she knows she is building her building, and she knows that something on her part is going to affect generations and generations and generations. Ma'ase avot siman lebanim. Next page.
Because I know.
Ela bakaratz Avram. You're right. He took responsibility from the meat, but he first told his son to do it, but he didn't get in trouble for that. You're right. I know. Right.
But he didn't give credit. He said, "I'll just get a little water," when it really was a big, he should have been more appreciative of whoever had it.
It's a big deal. The things that we said were big deal. It's a big deal. Why? Because when you're setting foundation, everything is a big deal. Foundation is always a big deal. Just ask anybody at, when they're building, what's the big deal? So it's an eighth of a millimeter off. Yeah, but when you're on the 100th floor, that eighth of a millimeter, it's a big deal. It's a very big deal. One of the next major events that unfolds itself in the preceding chapters is this World War I before World War I. It's that famous war of the four kings against the five kings, which Abraham took part in. It was a major, major international event. We are now on page 2, the second page of sources, where it says Dalet Malchuyot. There was a war of four kings against the five kings. Avraham was on the side of the five kings, fighting the four kings. It was victorious on Avraham's side once he joined with his forces, and the four kings were eliminated. Says the Ramban, Vayi b'me Amrafel Melech Shinar, who was one of the four kings, Hamaseh Hazeh, this war, Irala Avraham, happened to Avraham. Avraham was drawn into this embroilment of the war, Lehorot, to teach us, Ki Arba Malchuyot Ta'amodna, four major kingdoms are going to rise up against his children, Limshol Ba'olam, they will be four major empires in world history, Ubisof Yitgabru Banav Alehem, and at the end of the story, when world history will have played itself out, his children will have overcome these four kingdoms. Ve'eplu kulam beyadam, and all those kingdoms are going to be crushed by Avraham's children, just like Avraham conquered those four kings. Ve'yashuvu kol shevutam, and all the captives are going to be returned. Who better than us knows what it means to have a captive child returned, verechusham, and property. Now, how exactly it will play itself out, we have yet to see. But tells us the Rambam, keshem shepatach ba'arba malchuyot, I can't tell you exact details, but just like the world in Avraham's day and age began with four kings, kach enochotem ela ba'arba malchuyot, the world, the rest of world history is going to also encounter four kingships. Vayhi b'me amrafel, king number one, that's a hint, Zubavel. That's the hint to Bavel. When we went, we were exiled by Bavel. Arioch melech elasar zumadai. The next one is a reference to Parasumadai, the Persian exile, although it was a shorter one. Kdar la'omer melech elam, the third king, that's Yavan. That's when the Greeks were ruling, the Greek Empire. And lastly, that's you and me today. V'tid'al melech goim zu malchut. Edom. That's the last of the four empires. That's Edom. And says the Ramban, Avraham was able to conquer all of them. So too, no matter what happens, we will not be vanquished. But until that day comes, Shi'abud Dalet Malchuyot, it's going to be hard. It's going to be tough. And there are going to be hard times. After all, Avraham, he received the prophecy in the Brit Beina Betarim, the covenant between the pieces, where, as was done when a treaty was, a covenant was sealed, the people who were going to make the treaty, one person took animals, cut them in half, and then he would walk in between the pieces as kind of like a sign on the dotted line, kind of statement. And so Avraham and Hashem enter a covenant, enter a treaty. It's called the Brit Beina Betarim, the covenant between the pieces. And Avraham takes several animals, cuts them in half. He takes a few more birds, does not cut them in half. And as he's about to receive a prophecy that is such a prophecy that foretells the end of days, something happens to Avraham. Let's take a look. Second page in the middle. Shi'abud Dalet Malchuyot. Hinei Eima Chashecha Gdola Nofelet Alav. Fear, darkness, a big darkness is crushing him. Ah, makara. It's a covenant with Hashem. It should be like Mazal Tov. Oh, it was terrible what he saw in that prophecy. Del Shubo Remez. What Avraham saw was a hint. L'shiabud arba galuyot. To the terrible, terrible hardships that his children were going to experience under those four kingships. Ki matza hanavi benafsho eima. First he was kind of frightened. Achakach b'chashecha. And then it was like a blackout of a frightening. V'achakach gdela chashecha. And then the darkness became so great. V'achakach hirgish kilu nofelet alav. And then he felt crushed. Now when you're crushed, you just have broken pieces. How are you going to put together the pieces? Ki masa kavet ichbad. It was too much for him. Ema, what was he so scared of? Zubavel. Oh, my children are going to be exiled out of their land. You know, the first time you get kicked out, it's not so pleasant. You don't know if you're going to come back. You know, we got kicked out into Babel. Can they survive the exile? Can they manage? Will they melt into the melting pot of the nations? First exile, it's not a simple thing. It was scary. You think that's scary? That's nothing. Chashecha. Zumadai. The next one, we know the story of Haman. He wanted to annihilate everyone, man, woman, child, in one day. In one day. Oh, that was darkness. How are they going to merit to get out of that one? Gdola. And then there's something even, what can be worse than Haman? Antiochus. Haman, he wanted to crush our bodies. Antiochus wanted to crush our souls. How are they going to withstand that? How are they going to survive that? How are they going to come out of all this assimilation? But then, nofelet alav. Then there was the vision of Galut Edom. That's you and me today. And that left him crushed into pieces. Pieces, mamash pieces. How are you going to put these pieces back together? A broken bone here, a skull over there. How are you going to put broken pieces back together? Oh, do you and I, who are living through Galut Edom, know very well of broken, broken pieces. And then, in the midst of this terrible, terrible fear, then he sees the vision of what? What's the vision? Something walks between the pieces. What? What walks between the pieces? An image of a smoking oven. An image of a smoking oven. And not long ago, when I heard Dr. Schkap, she wasn't quoting any commentator, as far as I can remember, but Dr. Schkap said, who better than you and I sitting in this room today knows the image of that billowing oven? Oh, that billowing oven. I don't know if Avraham knew it. I don't know if Ramba knew it, rather. But Avraham knows that he feels crushed. And then comes the billowing oven. V'hinei ha'anyan hazeh le'Avraham. And this prophecy for Avraham, kshehakadosh baruch hu karat imo brit, when Hashem makes the covenant, latet ha'aretz lezar'o, Hashem makes this covenant, what? What's the deal about? I'm going to give you Eretz Yisrael forever. Amar lo kemesher b'matnato, but I'm going to put some, not conditions, but there are going to be consequences. There are going to be consequences if our covenant isn't kept, like Bnei Yisrael might sin. And even if they sin, they will still have Eretz Yisrael, but they're going to have to pay a price. There's going to be a consequence to their deeds. What? What's the consequence? Now, the truth is, according to some of the Midrashim, Avram had a choice. He had a choice. He could choose their consequence. And he was shown consequence in Gehinnom, and he was shown the exiles, and he had to choose what his children will be put through. And here he sees what exile, the crushing blow of exile, and it really, really leaves him frightened. But there's something else that happened in this covenant. You know, I told you they took animals, he cut them in half, and then they were going to make a covenant. What happens when you cut up animals and you're out in the field? What always happens when there's carcasses and dead animals? It smells, and different undesirable elements are attracted, be they bugs, be they, birds, or, you know, people, birds of prey or animals of prey. It's natural for those to come by. Oh, that's exactly what happens. The pasuk says, last paragraph on that second page, Vayered ha'ait al hapgarim. The vulture, some kind of bird of prey, comes, swoops down upon the carcasses. Why? Very simple. Le'chol otam, to eat them. Kiminag ha'afot. That's what birds of prey do. And what does Avraham do? Like any person would do if you need those animals. Vayeshev otam Avraham. Kacha, he shooed them away. Very significant. Whatever happens to Avraham is going to happen to us. What is the hint of the birds of prey coming and eating the carcasses and Avraham shoos them away? Now, Rashi tells us that those animals that he cut in half, it symbolizes the other nations who are like animals that want to eat us. So if the birds of prey come and peck at those animals a little bit, do we really mind? Not so much. Come, birds of prey. Have a feast, you know. Hitler, sure, come. So why does Avraham shoo them away? No, Avraham, don't shoo those birds away. Let them have a party. But Avraham shoos them away. Why? Says Rashi, because this is all prophetic stuff going on. Says Rashi, Lashon Yeshiva Farfafra, when he shooed them away, Remez is a hint. Sheyavo David ben Yishai. That bird of prey, the vulture, whatever it was none other than a prophecy of King David. And David HaMelech has big plans. His big plans are to create like a messianic era and to eliminate all our enemies. But what does Avraham do? He pushes away that bird of prey. In essence, he's pushing away David HaMelech and his grand plan. Why not? Why don't you let David HaMelech successfully eliminate all our enemies? It's a good idea, no? Excellent idea. Only one thing is wrong, and that's the time. The timing isn't right. Ein menichim oto min ha-shamayim. Hashem will not let David HaMelech eliminate our enemies and usher in the Messianic era. Ad sheyavo melech ha-mashiach. Until the Mashiach will come, then the time will be right. But up till then, the time will not be right. So according to Rashi, the bird of prey that Avraham pushes and shoos away is the prophecy of David HaMelech, who will not be allowed to usher in the Messianic era. According to Radak, something else entirely is going on. Because if you look carefully at the verse doesn't say that the bird wants to eat the verse says, Vayered ha'ait al ha-pegarim. Pegarim means carcass. Now those animals which were cut in half, says the Radak, you can't call them carcasses. You gotta call them halves. There's only one thing that's carcass. And what's that? The birds. The birds are carcasses because they are whole. Once you cut it in half, It's not like a carcass. It's a, you call it a bit, a half, call it a chunk. It's not a carcass. A carcass is complete. And if you're going to be really precise with the wording, says Radak, the bird of prey wanted to eat the birds. Now, who's the bird? That's me and you. That's us. We are symbolized. We are compared to the bird. So when Avraham shoos away the bird of prey that wants to peck at the birds, that's us, says the Radak, that's prophetic. That's Avraham. That's Avraham already with his simple flick of the wrist. With this flick of the wrist, ensuring our safety throughout the generations. Says the Radak, who is that? Last line, last two lines over there. Bechol dor vador, umot ha'olam omdot aleinu. In every generation, there's another vulture. One generation, his name is Hitler. One generation, his name is Nebuchadnezzar. One generation, his name is, you know, Arafat. There's no lack of birds of prey. And Avraham's shooing them away is what? HaKadosh Baruch Hu matzileinu miyadam. Hashem is going to save us from those birds of prey. Bizchut Avraham, in the marriage of Avraham. Let's talk about a very specific bird of prey. Shortly after this covenant, in fact, in the next perek, Avraham and Hagar, Hagar gives birth to her child, she gives birth to Ishmael. In order, according to the Ramban's rule, to understand Ishmael today, it is important to understand Ishmael in the Torah, because Ishmael in the Torah will shed light upon Ishmael today. Let's try to see what we can figure out. Before Hagar gives birth to Ishmael, the angel gives her a short prophecy, which basically encapsulates all of Ishmael. The angel tells her, Hagar, you're about to have a child. Here are going to be his qualities. He's going to be. So we are on page 3. There's an addendum. We'll get to that soon. He's going to be Pere Adam. What is Pere? Pere can mean one of two things. Pere, it could mean several things. Pere could mean wild. Pere could also mean a donkey. Pere could also mean both of those put together. It could mean a wild donkey. Either wild, wild donkey. Pere could mean lawless. Okay, lawless. Somebody who you cannot, they will not subjugate themselves to any kind of law. All those things the commentaries give as explanations to Pere. You will have a child. He will be Pere. He will be either like a donkey. He will be either lawless. He will be wild. Adam. Let's say Adam. Adam. A person. A person like me and you. He will have that quality too. Says the Sforno, Yishmael is likened. If the Sforno wouldn't say it, I would not be allowed to say it. But the Sforno says it, so we can say it. Sforno says, Ishmael is like donkey man. Sforno said it, not me. Donkey man, part donkey, part man. He got the donkey personality from his mother. He got the Adam, the upright, God-fearing personality traits from his father. Sometimes this manifests itself, sometimes that manifests itself. Shiye ish pere, says Ramban. The essence of his being is he's going to be lawless, lemud midbar, he's going to be master of the desert. Yatze bepoalo, he goes out, so to speak, to work, mishachar, early in the morning, letaref, to get you, to hunt you down, to attack you. Pere Adam, yado bakol, his hand will be on everything, says Ramban. Ve'itrof hakol, he will attack everything. He will want to devour everything. Ve'yad kol bo, and the hand of others will be on him, says the Ramban. Hakol yitrefuhu, everybody will want to devour him. Not a very peaceful scene. Ve'inyan, here's the message, says Ramban, al zar'o, about his offspring, shigdal, his offspring is going to be so great, there'll be so many, v'yula milchamot im kol ha'amim, and he's going to go to war with all the nations. Note, Ramban is writing this before you have a centralized Yishmael kingdom that is going to war with anybody. V'Rabbi Avraham Amar, and the Ibn Ezra adds, Yado Bakol. Here's the Ibn Ezra's picture. Again, Ibn Ezra is writing centuries and centuries ago. Sheyinatzeach mitchila kol hagoyim. Initially, Yishmael is going to be victorious over all the nations. V'achakach yad kolbo. And after that, everybody else's hand will be on him. Sheyunutzach besof. He will be vanquished at the end. We have yet to see things that the Ibn Ezra and the Ramban are telling us based on the words of the Psukim that have not yet completely manifested themselves. We definitely do see, yes, Yado Bakol, Yad Kolbo, but not the finishing, not the fulfillment, not the end of that. Now, let's stop and let's kind of peel back the curtain a little bit more and take a look behind the scenes as to why and what Yishmael is given so much power. There is an addendum in your source packet. That's the one that I'm looking at. In Perek Yudzayin, one chapter after the birth of Yishmael, Hashem commands Avraham, "V'natati lecha lezerecha acharecha et eretz megurecha." Yes, I'm making a covenant with you. I am giving you Eretz Yisrael, and I'm giving it to you forever. And here's your part of the deal. My part of the deal is that I'm giving you Israel. Here's your part of the deal. Ata et briti tishmor. You have to keep this brit. You have to keep your part of the covenant. Zot briti ate asher tishmeru. Here's my covenant which you have to keep. What is it? Himalachem kol zachar. Circumcise the males. When? Ben shmonat yamim yimol. On the eighth day they shall be circumcised. That's your part of the deal. Brit milah. The Zohar and the commentaries and the Pasuk itself makes the connection between having a hold unto Eretz Yisrael and the mitzvah of Brit Milah. Hashem in Perek Yudzayin tells us again, here is the covenant, I'm going to give you Eretz Yisrael forever, and even if you do Chataim and it's going to be yours forever, Zot Briti Asher Tishmoru, now here's your part of the covenant that you have to keep, Himolechem Kol Zachar, you have to do Brit Milah. As long as there is Kedushat Brit Milah, you will have a hold unto Eretz Yisrael. Is that so? Eretz Yisrael and Brit Milah go hand in hand, and whoever has the circumcision gets the land? Oh. Whoever circumcises, yeah, gets the land. That's a great rule. Who else circumcises? Ishmael. The Zohar gives us a fascinating dialogue that takes place between, there's a concept that all the nations of the world have a sar, have like an angel that is assigned over them. Spiritual concept. This angel that is assigned over Yishmael takes this statement of Hashem and kind of takes issue with it. I'm going to read the Hebrew translation of the Aramaic Zohar. It is that which is underlined. 400 shana amada memune. For 400 years, whatever that means, I'm not going to get into it. For 400 years, the Memune is the angel which is appointed over Yishmael. In other words, the heavenly, we have about just a few minutes, we will culminate with this. The heavenly representative that is over Yishmael, Bikesh lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is demanding and asking Hashem, Mi shenimol, haim yesh lo chelek b'shimecha? He who is circumcised, he has a portion with your name? Amar lo Hashem answers, Ken, yes, that is so, you got it right. V'harei Yishmael nimor, says the heavenly representative of Yishmael, behold, Yishmael circumcises, Madua en lo chelek becha kmo Yitzchak, why do the Yishmaelim not have a portion like Yitzchak? Yitzchak has a portion, he has Eretz Yisrael, he has a different portion, he was the chosen one, but we also circumcise. Amar lo Hashem answers, Ze nimol karauyu ketikuno, veze lo kach. This one circumcises ketikuno, the way that I want him to be circumcised. But this one he does not circumcise in the same way like Yitzchak. ולא עוד אלא שאלה מתדפקים בי ליום השמיני. These, they circumcise themselves on the eighth day. ואלה מתרחקים ממני לימים רבים. Those distance themselves from me for many, many, many years. ישמעאלים get circumcised at the age of 13. Furthermore, circumcision is a three-step process. The Ishmaelim do not do all three steps. I will not go into detail, but there is one step called Pri'ah, which in Ishmael circumcision is not done. Ve'im kol ze, nevertheless, says the angel, kevan shenimol, ha'im lo yeh lo sachar al ze? Nevertheless, says Ishmael, my people circumcise. Ishmael gets circumcised. There's blood. Don't they have a share in anything? Answers God, Oy le'oto zman she'Yishmael nolad. Woe is to the time when Yishmael came into the world, venimol. Woe, woe, woe to the world when Yishmael circumcises. But you know, a word is a word. And the angel was right. Ma asa kadosh baruch hu? What does Hashem do? הרחיק את בני ישמעאל מהתדבקות העליונה. He distances the people of Ishmael from התדבקות עליונה, from cleaving to Hashem in the upper world, ונתן להם חלק למטה. And he gave the Ishmaelim, he gave the Arabs a share, a chelek, down here on earth. בארץ הקודש. Namely, he gave them Israel, a share in Israel. בגלל, because, המילה שבהם, the brit milah which they perform, ועתידים, and in the future, בני ישמעאל לשלוט בארץ הקודש. The ישמעאלים are going to rule over Israel. כאשר היא ריקנית, when it's empty, when it's all desolate, מכל זמן, when it's empty of everything, empty of Jews, empty of vegetation, when it's empty, when nobody's there because we're hanging out in exile, the Ishmaelim are going to come in and they're going to take over. Note, this is being written almost 1,000 years ago when there were no Ishmaelim living in Israel. And the Zohar says, when Eretz Israel is empty of vegetation, empty of Jews, then Ishmael will be given permission to take hold of Eretz Israel. Take hold of Eretz Israel. Just like כמו המילה של המרקנית, just like their circumcision is quote-unquote superficial, empty, רקנית מכל שלמות, it's not complete, so too their hold on Israel will be not complete. והם יעקבו את בני ישראל, and they will delay the Jewish people from coming and taking over Eretz Israel. עד שתשלים אותה זכות של בני ישמעאל, until their merit of ברית מילה dries up. It will dry up. But until the day comes where their merit of Brit Milah dries up, they will have a hold on Eretz Israel. Our merit, our zechut of Brit Milah, not just, of course, the performance of Brit Milah, but all that that represents of Kiddusha, of holiness, Ot Brit Kodesh, all that comes into play with this concept of the holiness of Brit Milah and how we carry ourselves as a people with holiness. Yes, the actual circumcision of the child, but of course the Ot Brit Kodesh, the Kedusha, the holiness and the purity which comes along with being a Jewish person who stands, who proudly wears the badge of being an Am Kadosh and bearing the badge of Ot Brit Kodesh. Is our zechut that of course is stronger than the zechut of Ishmael. But yes, they have merit too. And it's not just political, who's in charge and who comes there. It's not just a political thing that we are watching unfolding in front of our very own eyes. It is something which, it is one aspect of that which the Zohar has already predicted, that they too have zechut. Okay, we are done. Kol tov. All the best. They are signaling me from the door. So please excuse my... going over time for 2-3 minutes.